in my opinion, levels are best for exits and price action near a level is best for entry.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Disclaimer time. This is where I tell everyone to lighten up. It's just a podcast. Trading is like that roller coaster at the amusement park. Thrilling, unpredictable, and potentially stomach-churning. What works for one person might leave another clutching their hat in the wind. Our hosts and guests, they're awesome, knowledgeable, full of insights, but we're not financial advisors. So don't rush to make any investment decisions based solely on our banter. Always consult with a professional or do your own research. Plus, let's face it, we like to have fun, laugh, enjoy the trading ride together. It's all in the name of good podcasting fun. So remember, take it easy, don't bet the farm, and keep your seatbelts on at all times. Thank you for listening.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the China Shop, home of the Band of Traders podcast. My name is Kyle. Joining me tonight, got the Baba Yaga in the house. Looks like he's pouring off a nice one. Flary is a special treat, has come back to join us as well. Flary, what are you drinking tonight, bud?
The same, bourbon. not quite the fancy shit like Baba's got over there, but hey, it's good.
I don't know.
That's probably, of like stuff that you can actually get at the store, that's probably like a top 10 bottle.
Damn. Is that something they cover on Rare Barrel?
Oh, yeah. It's been on there.
Oh, yeah. They've got shelves of that stuff, yeah.
How are those boys doing?
Good. Good. They actually built a studio. I thought at some juncture you guys were talking about going out there and maybe collaboration or something.
The wife and I were looking at going up there to learn from you guys about how to do some like new stuff with video. Trying to do that before this Boston blockchain project, but I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. We're like right in the thick of that right now.
Nice.
But I do still want to get up there. I know Eric definitely wants to. He loves, I think he'd be more into the whiskey and cigar talk.
That's like a bonus on the trip. Right? But yeah, they just, so he finished the whole studio and then he's got his music side pretty well done. So now they've got the office for like his marketing stuff. They've got the studio for, you know, the Rare Barrel and whatever. And then he's got his music studio too. So basement, office, studio, lab has come together.
I've been seeing they're doing a lot of travel and stuff too. Like I keep seeing them popping up and like, I think they're in Colorado, right before I took my trip out there and they're doing some other ones. Yeah.
Undead tour.
Is that what it is?
They're just going around seeing the dead shows. Hey, is there a link? I've got a few people asking. Sorry, adding editing to.
That's easy life. Enough. Don't worry about it. Let's see. We got any show news maybe we need to talk about? Baba, what's going on with you, man? You got anything you need to inform us about going on? Are you coming out of retirement? Did Rich talk you out of it?
Oh, I am. First of all, I haven't been retired, bud.
Oh, okay.
I've been retired from being in a room on a microphone. Regular, but I've posted a little bit of stuff the last couple weeks. What I feel like was
some banger stuff.
I was about to say, should have been pretty helpful if you have eyeballs. But kids start back to school this week. So Monday, first day of school, who knows how that all goes. We've got our youngest starting kindergarten, which is crazy.
It's a little Joe.
The little one. Yeah. Yeah. So she seems excited right now, but who knows? So
up until the moment they leave, that could go either way.
Yeah, right. But hopefully when school starts back, we'll hang out in the room a little more often. I've messaged with a few people. Like, I still have messaged with a fair amount of people from there on and off throughout the trading days, especially days that I'm more active.
I think I sent you my best one from last week. It was a little 40-point runner I had on ES.
The 40 points on ES is on nothing ES? To scoff
at. I was pretty happy with that.
Let's go.
I asked him I don't think it was gift worthy. He didn't give me a gift, so it's not that
well,
good.
Well, I probably
like the ATR and NQ for the last like month, except for the last week. Right.
So we'll maybe be a little more chatting in there coming up in the weeks to come. I don't know.
Sounds good to me.
Nothing else special.
All right.
Maybe I need an options channel in there.
I actually, when you said that today, I thought, you know what? I have flipping flopped back and forth between firing up my old Tastyworks account and
Tastyworks.
Oh yeah,
that's yeah, man. And I was like, dude, I was actually thinking about days like today where I traded this morning, and then I had some like just running around to do. I'd like go make sure a house was ready for we're selling that house. That we did in town. And so I just had a show. We have a show showings tomorrow. So I just needed to go like make sure like a tree hadn't fell through it or something like that. I just had like piddly stuff. I had, to, I mean, it could happen.
Has it?
No, it has never, but there's a first time for everything. One fell through my house last fall.
Fair enough.
But I was like, oh, dude, you know, I could have taken a couple of trades with options. Because you're like buying that time, basically, you know, versus the sharpness of future sometimes. You know, you just go ahead and decide like, all right, you know, this $400 is either going to be $1,200 or zero by the end of the day. But I got till the end of the day. You know what I mean?
I kind of like the – it feels more like you're hunting with a shotgun than, you know, with an arrow. Like, you know, you could be a lot less surgical with options, it feels like.
I mean, yeah.
It depends, but yeah, with the right strategy.
Well, because sure. I like to size. I prefer to size, like make my sizing my stop. Like I'm just going to risk whatever the position size is. That way I don't have to fuck
for
with it.
For sure. I'm not playing with a stop loss on options. We're just
going to try that. It doesn't work too well. All right, I got your channel, though. It's set up. We've got an options channel now.
There we go. Yeah, I'll poke some plays in there. I don't know. Probably shouldn't follow them. Whatever.
Not financial advice.
There's a method. There's a method to the madness. I guess it's the same old. But
oh my gosh,
Baba, how's it been? You know, whatever you call it, retired Kyle. But like, how's it been to not be anchored to a room or you know some version of mentoring? Like, is it a relief? Is it like what you know? Like, how's it been to you?
Obviously,
how's it been to your trading? More importantly,
okay. Well, I was gonna say you obviously haven't been listening to the show. We talked about this a few weeks ago.
Yeah, sorry guys, I haven't.
Don't be a dick. So shame on you. However, it has. So specific to trading, one of the funny things is less frequent. Just in general, just taking way less trades. I think I did not realize the, and this would go for the last few years, because it's been like 3 years that I've been kind of live and on point in some capacity, right? Or 2.5, whatever. I didn't realize that over that course of time, my decision making was somewhat influenced by wanting to be active, since people were, I think people come in anticipating that you pull the rabbit out of the hat to some extent. I mean, that's not really the vibe we had in our room, but you kind of subconsciously feel that. So like it can creep into like that decision making tree a little bit. So that was cool. I noticed like, holy, like one week I took like 7 trades or 11 trades the whole week. But the win rate has been a good, you know, marginally higher, which has been cool. Like like double digit percent since taking a little break from being on point.
That's significant.
Yeah. And it wasn't like things were terrible. But the other thing I think is... it allowed me to kind of do what I enjoy or what's like most, I messaged you a little bit about that. Like I've just kind of leaned into what's like absolutely most enjoyable to me, like setups and style of trading. And it doesn't really like, there's no one to even have an opinion on it.
Baba, does that feeling of, not having to deal with like people anymore or whatever, like that
sounds that, terrible a little bit. But.
Not that sounds like I don't mean it like that either. I'm trying to say like that just not having any more responsibilities, I guess. Like for me, not having a place to be in the morning. Like I don't watch the open anymore. My trading's kind of migrated past that. I wait for the 10 o'clock hour to set, and then I make my decisions based off of that. But like now, I don't need to sit and watch the screen anymore. Now I just come down, check it at 10 o'clock. And if there's a trade to be had, I set it up and then I walk away and then I come back later and see if it happened. And if it happened, great. If it didn't, then all right. if I got stopped out, whatever. But like, that's it. And now my biggest struggle now is like, don't tinker with it. Don't overfit it. Don't feel like I need to, I'm not doing enough. Like, you know that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't feel like I'm spending enough time working on it.
Well, if it's working, there's probably nothing to work on.
Right. And I think I've gotten in that cycle before where I tend to like over tinker something because I feel it starts working too well. And it's almost like you're sabotaging yourself.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel much temptation in that direction.
Yeah.
Is
it maybe guilt about not having to spend as much time as you did before?
Do I feel any guilt?
Yeah.
No. Hell no. Okay, no, right, man. Right. Because like no. What I have done, like we have had we've taken such advantage of the summer with our kids. You know, my daughter's going into high school. So this is like the last summer that she's probably not gonna, I mean, she did a lot of stuff with friends, but as you get into high school, you know, like, when school's out, we were going all the time with friends.
Yep.
So like we took advantage of that. We went on multiple, you know, trips this summer. I really also didn't realize like the time in front of the screen, was so much. It sucks.
That's really what, I mean, honestly, that's what I'm hitting home at. Like, you know, I mean, yeah, the people interaction, you know, the camaraderie of trading or like, you know, whatever you want to call it, mentee, mentor kind of relationship that you get into in the Discord environment. Yeah. Like, you know, like to some extent you miss it or whatever, or, you know, like you said, like, is it a relief? But I think that like, being able to just do whatever, like I still have a regiment, like I still chart, at, you know, before the market opens. But like you said, like there's a pressure to pull a rabbit out of a hat or something like that. Like, you know, to be adapting, like there's just an ABC strategy. I have it. I map it out. I wait for a trade to come. Like, I don't care if the trade comes at 11, if it comes at 8:30, like it doesn't matter. Like, I have one or two good ideas a day. I don't have to sit there and bullshit about it, like do market commentary as it's coming through. Like, so I mean, to some extent, like the screen time relief from just like, I think at the end of the day, like when you get it down, I could probably chart for like 10 or 15 minutes tops, as long as you're keeping them up. Like, and that's probably even like pushing it. Like you're like trying to find something, and that's like more for like, I'm going into other indexes or individual names, stuff like that. But like for the most part, like NQ, I know tomorrow, like what I wanted to do today kind of thing. And you know, like it's the progression of the trend is going where it's going. And you know, tomorrow it's going to be here if it keeps going there. And I know what trade tomorrow has. And you know, it's just kind of a matter of like, it's almost like a new level of patience, because there's not some built-in need to be at the desk. And I think that's like, for me, that was the biggest thing.
Why did you make the shift away, Flair? Was it because of the restaurants, or are you leaning more into the poker?
Because he and I, we weren't hanging out as much. And so it was really making him sad. Every day that we didn't hang out, he was a little more sad. Okay. So he had to change.
Yeah, it was just too much. You know, I missed Baba too much when we weren't on together, so I had to just cut the ties. But
yeah.
No, I mean, honestly, it's just, you know, I did that for a long time. I built a pretty cool process, perfected to some extent, you know, my version of the gained loss work, and I shared it. You know, I mean, I don't like, right. there's documents and videos, and like what I do is not a mystery. I've shared it. Tried to teach it to as many people as wanted to actually listen. And, you know, I don't know, whatever.
There's a lot of grateful people out there.
Kind of thing. Yeah. And I think it's just like, you know, again, like for me, there came a point where I realized like it was an EV decision. Like I personally thought that continuing to spend that much time at the desk, to try to teach in some capacity, or even share trades in any capacity was like a pressure. And I even still, you know, like we still have like a group of people that we share ideas with and we kick it around. And even that's gotten a little bit more or less pressure built of like, you know, every trade you want to call to the team. Like, you know, I'll be like, hey, I'm getting in calls in NVIDIA or something. You know, we call them out specifically, but like there's not like a whatever. But I still even like this week I took a trade that was a short after the market ripped into Thursday. Mm-hmm. Was it Thursday or Wednesday?
It ripped Thursday in the morning and
then
dumped.
Sold off Thursday. Yeah. Yeah. I took a short, like a pretty large short, using puts on Qs, and I didn't fucking tell anybody. Because, dude, it was all like, and it's funny because, like I saw, one of the other rooms that I kind of like watched, they were all, you know, it's a Leroy up and, you know, it's Delta continuation and like, you know, there was all these, you know, they were progressing upwards. I'm like, dude, I'm shorting this. And like even my own stuff that I look at was kind of bullish, but I was just the levels we were coming into were daily levels, 4 hour levels. Like it was a 1 hour progression kind of like going up in there. I was like, dude, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not telling anybody I'm shorting this thing. And I'm just gonna let it bug. All right,
so here's the question. Did you short it once it fell below 617, when it closed below 617, or did you short it when it closed below 580, or did you short it as soon as it pulled back in to 655?
I shorted it on the push above like six, like that 650 area, and as soon as it slammed back down,
are you talking about, is that the day, I'm thinking ES, but is that the day we ran up a little bit and then like right after the morning and then just basically straight down after that?
Yeah, it rallied all night. It sold off the entire day. All night up, all day down.
And the level it hit was literally to the tick, the previous 1 hour move to the low.
Like
in the settlement hour. So it was a trend day down, and it was like almost like an open test drive because it popped a little bit, and then the range kind of expanded to the downside, and it hit some pretty key levels. And then in the settlement hour, it came down, and it sold off, and then on Globex, it sold off again, and it popped right off of that four, like the previous 1 hour move to the low, and it just ripped all night, and it came right back up into, yeah, like that 617, 604. I had it at 604, but yeah, it's like the same level, blah, blah, 617 or whatever.
When I look at ES, I want to say ES did something similar. It hit a level that it's probably one of your spots.
If 6418 would have been that spot on ES,
but,
right? No, I'm on the wrong day. It would have been when it, you know, I'm out at the high?
No, the low of
Kyle.
I'm talking about the low
it tagged was 6370. 6369 quarter was the hourly move to the low. Roughly.
Wait.
Or 6371, somewhere in there.
Yeah, and NQs was like 20.
I longed that in Globex as soon as it tagged it that night.
Yeah, 23,045 half. I mean, it was like to the top.
I pulled that up. I think I pulled that up at like 8, like right about 6 o'clock or whatever, like maybe like an hour after the open, but it was closer to 7. And I was looking at that. I was like, man, this thing's just going to rip all night, isn't it?
Yeah. And it did.
Wish I had a little more faith in it.
It ripped all night. And then I took some loss. I think it was the next day it kind of like grinded. And I think I took some losses trying to short that day too. But then the next day, then it grinded the Globex session again. Then the next day it was up in that 600, 650 area. And then it's just, so yeah, it was a good day. But again, like the point is like, even with just like a pod of people, there's still like a pressure to be like, hey, I'm getting in front of this freight train. Like, and I have reasons why, but whatever. And it's just like, I didn't even want to like, there, you know, whether you want to call it maturity or whatever, but like you know, listen, I just want to be convicted on my trade, and I'll take the loss if it's a loss. And, you know,
I don't want to hear anybody else's opinions on it. I don't want to accidentally influence somebody else.
Yeah.
Well, too, like even to be able to laugh about taking that long in Globex versus when, you know, we didn't live stream Globex, I would hate to come in the next day and be like, I'm probably going to trade pretty light today because, you know, I made all this money last night.
Yep.
And people are like, oh, cool. You know, but like now I trade it. We had two grindy Globex sessions, dude. That's like easy money. If you look at trend development on a small time frame in Globex, when it starts to like just etch a sketch its way, I mean, it's like ding dong, ding dong. I mean, as long as you want to sit here and do it, it's doable. And yeah, as far as like your point about time, you know, I didn't realize the freedom I was sacrificing, like everyone wants to talk about trading. Oh, because I want this freedom to be able to do whatever. But like, then if by default you spend just as much time sitting here in front of this, you know, radiation monitor as yeah. as you would at a job, then what's the difference?
Yeah, it almost becomes like a second level hack of trading. Like, there's like get it, you know, and put in the screen time and do it, and then just optimize it so that you don't have to do that. You know, assuming your strategy allows you to do that. Like,
yeah, it's all strategy dependent. Yeah. But like, what to your point too? I have not turned on Sierra charts in about a month. I don't need, I just don't need it.
Yeah.
Done.
I just don't need it.
I wouldn't say I'm done. I still use it for some of the automation and shit like that, just to make sure my manual drawing of all of my stuff is good. But like, yeah, I mean, dude, again, like,
it's just like a simple candlestick chart these days.
You mean an hourly chart? A 4-hour chart, daily chart.
Well, I mean, like, I still like the idea of delta and initiative moves and all of that stuff. But really, like, because I'm not trying to be in a trade all the time. I'm trying to execute around as best I can, like a place I think it should have some inflection. And I should know, and that place isn't necessarily tied to the open. Today, you know, we were in no man's land on like 3 time frames, but 5-minute was like crystal clear, like to me at least, what the opportunity was. So, you know, in that case, like I'm not going to look at delta, wait for delta, look for some indicator to fire, watch a Renko chart develop. Like, none of that really matters. If we close above that, where, you know, what I was looking at, then like I want to be long because I think we're going to go test, you know, something much higher. There wasn't really anything, mm-hmm. you know, wasn't really worried about much up through there because we'd already done all that. And, you know, Flary probably, you know, we talk about gaining and losing support for the last few years, and it's always been kind of like a consideration. But it also was always kind of the most like rules-based form of evaluation,
mm-hmm.
you know, that and value and balance. Like, you don't squint at all. It just is what it is. And so I think that's been, made it where my time is not like, I don't have to spend as much time evaluating or even really making decisions, dude. Even like, this is going to sound terrible, but like, if I'm executing in the right place, the risk will take care of itself. Like, I'm not going to strangle this thing. I don't find any pride in having a 7.5-point stop or a 9-point stop. I really find pride in
the thesis,
being a part of a trade to go to where I think we are, you know, we have a reasonable chance.
Well, again, I think like the exit from whatever you want to call it, the Discord grind of trading, makes it, at least for me, where it's like, again, like I'll come to the desk, I'll chart out, you know, a couple of the big names I want. I'll just chart NQ, and like draft up like 1 or 2 A+ ideas. And sometimes we're not right there, right? Like, mm-hmm. and like before it was like, okay, well, like I'd really love to short, like, you know, this level that's 150 points higher. Well, that could take like 5 hours, right? You're like sitting there all day. And then, you know, I've taken like 10 trades that I didn't think up in between there. And I think that's like, for me, the biggest thing is like, just sit down, draft it up. And sometimes there's not a good trade in NQ or Qs. And then, you know, I'll start looking at some of the megas and things like that, or even like crypto. You know, and you, again, like you just wait. And that was, you know, again, probably just like a character flaw, but like not easy when you're sitting at your desk with all of that information. And like, I'm not saying Delta and order flow is not good. I still think like the, you know, the historical Delta, the clusters, whatever is, you know, some amazing stuff, but like watching Delta print on a candle and deciding whether or not I'm going to take like a small rotation, it's just like I just cut it out from an EV perspective. Like, yeah, it's not worth the time for me anymore. And I'm looking for, honestly, like bigger moves, or bigger pieces of it and less commitment. But that's not to say that it's not like, if you are doing that and you are on the desk grind and all that stuff, then yeah, it's great work.
It wasn't that long ago when Baba started saying, what was the phrase you said? Like, the more productive you are when you're sitting at the desk, the better your trading is.
Well, the more productive I found, the more productive I was away from the screen. And that was kind of a lifestyle thing, but also just like, I think that was almost, it was like the flip. Like, actually, if I do this well, then I get up and go do something else, And so like, I realized it in reverse, like, oh, if I'm really productive outside of trading, like my trading is better. Really, I think it was, those were times where I just stuck to something. I don't know. For me, it's just the simplicity. And I could draw this on the, I sent Flary a screenshot the other day after like some small celebration of my own, just my own trading, what I've been doing has been going really well. And so, and it's like, I've just simplified, which I was doing that towards the end of our time at Vanta when I was live, just trying to peel out stuff. Cause it had kind of gone, you know, I had added stuff for a long time and then tried to whittle it back down to the basics. And I literally, like, with like the most rudimentary drawing tool, I was like, all you need to be successful is this and this, and like drew it on there and sent it to him. I was like, the next person that asked me, like, how to trade or what should I do to trade? I was like,
this is it. I'm going to see that image.
That's the old U-Trade logo. Remember the old U-Trade logo was literally just that. Like, it was just that squiggle. That's trading right there. Like a high, a low, a retest of the high and go.
I would say probably like my application of, and that's the other thing. There's still room for creative expression. Interpretation, like I really like certain aspects of the way trend develops. Like I really hone in on like a couple of really specific things that may or may not matter to, I don't even know if Flary cares about.
Bro, you got to call it a model, those. Isn't that what all the, that's what you do now?
It's gonna have a special name, like pattern.
You gotta call it a model. Hey, let's not make fun of people naming things quite yet. we can make fun of them calling it a model. Okay, all right. Pretty much every setup I have has some dumbass name.
Oh, no, there's nothing wrong with that.
The point is,
boing, fun time.
Yeah. Well, the point is that just because something's rule-based doesn't mean that there's not room to
deviations.
To model, to use the model word, but to model it into, or to like form it into something that you seem to really notice and pick up on and like to execute around. And so, you know, I don't do exactly what he does. He doesn't do exactly what I do, but when we send pictures back and forth, it's hilarious. Cause we're looking in roughly the same spot where you,
I literally sent you basically the same screenshot back. I was like, here's my,
yes,
here's
he did.
My chart.
It was awesome. Yeah. It was awesome. Yeah. But the point, and it's like, to me, it's just, the progression, the thing that I struggled with this, the idea of gaining and losing support. I don't think anyone can lay claim to like that form of horizontal support resistance, but a rules based horizontal support resistance. But the idea of trend progressing from smaller time frames to larger, or degrading from smaller time frames to larger, around areas that I perceive as possibly vulnerable, that was a very hard thing for me to learn how to trade in the flow of that happening. So what I would typically do that frustrated me was I would have a level like, okay, I want a short 23.582 with both hands, and actually would have played out great yesterday. But let's say that, like, I don't know. You got to find one that didn't really play out great. I don't know.
404.
Whatever. The point is, 404, I'm going to go you know, both hands to short 404, right? Because that's a lost spot and that's important, right? Or buy it because it's going to go higher. And then we touch it and we go 30 or 40 points below it. Well, I just took three stops trying to get long at a spot I thought really mattered. What the freak? This is so stupid. Only to then for it to rally 400 points. Some would say, oh, well, you got to get better entry conditions, blah, 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 whatever. But like learning how to apply an idea that's great, and trade it as it develops and not be worried. I think those snap entries oftentimes are, they come from being worried about missing something after, you know, you put in work and have a plan. So,
ready to nerd out on the tech shaping tomorrow? Voices of Blockchain, the official podcast of Boston Blockchain Week 2025, is back for season two. We're featuring pioneers rocking Web3, AI, and blockchain innovation. So get the scoop on the people powering the next wave of innovation by subscribing now wherever you get your podcasts. And join us for the fun in September at bostonblockchainweek.com for the killer talks, epic vibes, and top-tier networking. And if you happen to run into me or my wife, come see us because we probably have unused drink tickets. Eric, why should people listen to season two?
I'm really excited for season two because what's interesting is that we talked about the founding of America. You know, we set that foundation. And now we're going to watch America try and build a house that will become divided and burned down.
And, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly.
Yeah, we're going to watch them fail spectacularly. It's going to end with the nation ripping itself apart, the founding of the best Virginia, and, you know, the suspending of habeas corpus. about as Boston getting. But what's going to be cool is what emerges from season two is the foundation for the world's largest, most advanced economy.
You visit the website, buckstartsherepodcast.com, to stay up to date. We'll see you all next week. Longtime fans of the show should be familiar with the lender formerly known as Sue Pullen, and I'm pleased to announce that she's back, fresh off a rebrand and ready to help as Sue Mackey. Sue is a certified mortgage advisor at Fairway Independent Mortgage, an equal housing lender who focuses on finding the right product for you and your needs. She has over 20 years of experience helping thousands of homeowners. Whether it's purchasing, refinancing, or even a reverse mortgage, Sue will help. Sue's licensed in 36 states now, so reach out and let Sue Mackey it happen for you. The best way to reach her is just give her a call at 520-977-7904 or in an email, spullen@fairwaymc.com. Fairway Independent Mortgage has an MLS number of 2289. Sue Mackey has an MLS number of 206048. That email again, spullen@fairwaymc.com. And that phone number is 520-977-7904. Shoot Sue an email and let her know she needs to update that address.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
That's what I've been kind of the iteration of this work I've been focusing on is how does it kind of progress even in a spot where, you know, I want to see really good bid, but how does it progress? And honestly, like I just never taken time to slow down enough to watch it.
Let me ask you this. Would you say, and this is like one of my epiphanies and I don't know if you agree, but,
also time out. We have, this is the most we've talked in like 6 months.
That's fair.
Three months.
Well, you called me, we chatted for a bit.
I'm saying, but about trading, like this, what's funny is I don't really know much of what his adventure's since he's been less public. And he doesn't know
talk some trades in a second, but okay. Before I forget this, let me spit this out. But would you say, in my opinion, I think levels, like just hard levels, like let's just say 404 or, you know, I had it at 6.0. I think I had it at 6.04 half, but I think you call it 6.17. Did slightly different time frame, same area. In my opinion, levels are best for exits, and price action near a level is best for entry. I think it took me a long time personally to get over that for the exact reasons you said. Like you're just waiting for 404. and you're like, both hands, I'm going to get long at this 404. And you know, it dips, I think it dipped like to like 360 or something like that. And yeah, you're trying to, you know, 15, 20 point stop and blah, 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 you know. And to me, like, covering the shorts into 404 was a great exit. You know, you target the area that they could snap it out of because you don't want to be on the other side of the snap. So I find myself exiting at those both hands levels because I want to exit with both hands. I don't want to get in with both hands. I want to exit with both hands. But then when you know this is an area where you could see a response, and you see price action, specifically even like more on the lower time frame, you know, like, you know, it's an hourly level, then you drop down into like the 5 minute, 15 minute, whatever you're doing. And, you know, then you can start looking for your like entry price action type models, things like that bullshit, Delta, whatever. That to me was like the biggest thing of like, I'm looking to get short somewhere near 404 or looking to get long somewhere near 404, but I'm exiting or at least scaling at 404. No questions asked. Like, that's the target.
What are the things that you're using now for your entry if it's not the level? Like, what would you rather see then? What's the A-plus setup or the thing that gets you entering every time?
I mean, some version of, like, exhaustion and then a snapback. Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost always, like, a peak and fail to some extent, or the beginning of, like, a lower time frame trend shift. So
5 minute gaining, trend shift this morning coming into the day.
Yeah, gaining like the 5 minute, gaining the 5 minute back, and then retesting it and trend start, like the first trend start retest of like a lower time frame. You know, especially when you have like an hourly that's like on a downtrend. You know, and all of a sudden that 5 minute snaps back, it gains the move to the low. It maybe takes another progressive leg up and then it back tests the move to the low. Boom. There's your entry. You know, and again, like now, you know, and I'm typically moving into options, but like if you're in, you know, in futures or whatever, you know, you have at least a solid low to now like risk against too. And it just becomes easier, like versus like I'm buying this level with 15 points of stop. You know, almost as like some fucking like FinTwit bullshit, dude. Like, I'm all for exiting at a place where you just like know that it's dangerous to still be holding risk. But I just don't. Some levels are great. Like, and don't get me wrong. Like, it's not a, nothing in trading is like a hard fast rule for sure. But like just buying or selling a level because you like it, I think is a good way to just like take a bunch of losses in a row because you've got conviction and then you get in that mindset and blah, 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 versus just like, I like this spot. Let me use all the things that I know to wait for a good opportunity to join a reversal if it happens, or join a pullback or whatever, if it's, you know, a pullback in trend or whatever. But yeah, I don't know. I think like along that lines of like levels gained, loss, or however you come up with levels, doesn't really matter. Like, it's just so easy to get tied to it, but get tied to it when it matters and you're already in profit and there's risk already on, not get tied to it when you're just trying to put risk on. And I think that's been a big evolution for me in the, like, you know, whatever gained loss world of, you know, some version of my trading system.
I got to go look through all the 30 minute trades that I've been having that are like the good winning ones. I need to go and make sure it's not like a gain loss retest area or Wyckoff.
Well, and so much pattern. Stuff lines up.
I know. Dude, that, I know, why, but if that is, dude, like, I need to, like, I just finally clicked in my head. It's like, I think this might actually be the pattern that I've been taking on accident. Like, I just kind of stumbled into it by looking at it in this time frame. But if that's the case, then I want to lean into that pattern more, you know, not just look for it on this 1 hour.
So it's funny that you say that, right? Because if we go back to the beginning, and I mean like the beginning of my trading. I mean, the very beginning. I had a couple of I had no idea about order flow, volume profile, blah, 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 none of that stuff. So, and I'd traded Bitcoin successfully-ish, but if you were long during those years, you were a great trader because Bitcoin went, you know, from like nothing to 20-something thousand or 20,000 or whatever. It was a good time. It was a good time to be trading with leverage on BitMEX. Shout out BitMEX.
Shout out VPNs. Shout out Tunnel Bear.
Shout out Tunnel Bear. Yeah, right. But I had a run of trading that was, you know, beginner's luck, successful, whatever. And then I had a stretch where it wasn't so good, and I was really frustrated. And so I took a chart, and I was like, well, the 1 minute and 5 minutes, such a low time frame. Let's go to the 15-minute, and let's mark all the places where I wish I would have taken a trade. Like, what? And only mark a place that you could have qualified it somehow and had a way to manage risk, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then what I noticed is that the 15-minute – and I mean on any time frame, but this is forever ago, dude. But the 15-minute would go down. It would like have like a doji style candle of pause, and then it would break lower, and then it would come back up above that pause, and then it would come back down and test where it paused before the break to the low, and then it would take off out of there. And that little pause, low, recover, go up, come back down, and just don't go much lower than that first little pause before the dump. That seemed to be a great way to find bottoms and tops.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed to be a great way to find a way to get into a trade and have reasonable risk. And then, you know, I would just set it to like 2-to-1 or 3-to-1, whatever the distance that the stop I was about to take. And that was a really successful run of trading. And what I was doing in a less developed, less rules-oriented way was trading moves to the low.
Right.
Like, I was intuitively trading the idea of a move to the low or a move to the high without really realizing it. Like, I had never heard that language before, but it just seemed that that happened often. And then typically after that, you would see a really nice move away from that area. And then what people told me who knew more than me in trading was, oh, well, that's Delta getting trapped, and that's, you know, blah, 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 you know, and there's all that's true, and that probably is part of the phenomenon that happens in that. But also it's that a new low was made, and then we could not continue below that, and you cannot.
All these people cannot, who tried to push it lower now have a chance to get out where they tried to get in.
Yeah, and you can't give that up. Like, Flary, the importance of a new high or a new low as trends developing has become like something so important to me over the last couple months, because that's when stuff gets fragile,
mm-hmm.
you know, like that's the first, like you can look and see it some in some of today's action. You just look through a chart, but you know, take a 30-minute time frame or a 5-minute time frame. Like, if we trade below some lows and the lowest low that started this whole thing is just right there, and we trade below some lows, but we spike down and don't take that one, and we close, and then we open the next candle right there and go down a little bit more and still can't take it. Once we move back above where those two, for me, it's those equal open, like candle close, candle open, go down, candle come back above that, candle's open. That is fixing to be at least a strong attempt to abandon that whole idea, because trend, like, we did not continue to develop in the same way that we did from here all the way to here. We stopped. And you say, oh, well, on what time frame did we stop? On the time frame I'm looking at.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Pick one. 5 minute, 1 minute, 30 minute, 45, well, 4 hour.
What matters is where it's going once that happens. Because I mean, again, it's like you're basically talking about like a in progression fail to gain or fail to lose. And if you can't make a new low, you just go make a new high. And if you know the net result of the failure, then you have a trade. Right? Yeah. Like, so if trend doesn't shift and progress back down and doesn't make that lower low, well, then it's going to go back up and take out the high where it just came from, right? If the sellers couldn't do it from there and they came down here and they failed, well, now they're going to have to try from higher, right? Like, it's just, you know, again, I think it's like the trade's on both sides, like, kind of, right? Like,
yeah.
you need to be covering into those danger spots, right? Which sometimes can be gain levels and whatever, but you also, you know, like when it fails to progress like that, like that's a long. I actually got long. So I got long one DTE. So like Monday expiration at 2:45 Central on the, like, if you pull up a 5 minute, they tried to break it, and it was like, you know, 4 or 5, like 20 minutes of like just straight selling into a previous low, and they got fucking jammed. Right. And so I bought one DTE calls, you know, and again, this is like, this comes from like we were talking about deviations earlier, like, okay, it's a trend day up. You got a failed breakdown or like a fail to lose on a lower time frame into the close. Like they're going to jack these sellers that have been trying to sell that like 700 whatever high. They're going to jack them up into this close. And so I bought one DTE calls into the close. They went up like 70%. And I actually wrote them into expiration, like, or into the settlement period. And it ran up, what, like 90 points or something like that? 100 mm-hmm. points? Yeah, into the close?
770, 765.
Yeah, and I think like one DTE, I bought, what did I buy? 575? 575. What did I buy? 575s. Yeah, 575s. Got them for $1.25 and closed them at like 215. But it, again, like that's that same trade you're talking about, like that, like basically like that fail to progress, fail to lose, whatever you want to call it. Can't make a new logo, make a new high, and then in a trend day. But it's again like I missed the open. Like to circle back to our conversation, I missed the open. You know, it is what it is. I was out playing poker late. Caught a couple of trades throughout the day in Tesla, IWM. And I saw that trade setting up. I saw them sweep it down. I was like, if they don't take out this low into like, you know, the 50 bot and all that bullshit, I'm like, this thing's going to jam up all these sellers into the weekend. You know, he's always got some spicy shit on the weekend too, right? You know, he's solving, you know, he's shaking hands with this guy, that guy, he's making deals all on the weekend. So, you know, again, it just kind of makes sense. It's a trend day up. And yeah, they failed to take out that low and I just jumped into that trade. So, but you can't do all that stuff without spending thousands of hours glued to this, you know, this monitor to be able to then just like, snap, see those things and take these trades and read the price action, read the trend, the progression of it the way that you want to, because you've developed and spent time honing the system. Like now I see that. I'm like, oh, look at these motherfuckers. They're about to jam these guys up on that 5 minute. And you're just like, the idea is simple. Like, okay, good thing. Just go take out. And what was 575 in NQ is basically closing the daily above the move to the all time high. So the move yep. to the all-time high, I think, is what, like 704, the close of that candle is like 704 or 705 or something like that on the daily, 705. So their whole goal, once they swept into that like 50 bot area, the whole goal of buyers was to jam everybody that was shorting against that daily close at 705, jam them up into the weekend. Mm-hmm. And that's like a simple trade, right? Like, you know, and again, like kind of goes back to that just like, there was not anything else involved in it except for watching them, you know, pull back on the 5 minute, fail to really make any new significant low. And the idea that they're going to fight to close above that 705, but the fight is because of daily trend and all of that stuff. So yeah, it's kind of a cool little progression of all of this work, you know?
So then somebody would say, oh, well, if you took that, what if you took that trade and that, you know, how did you know? Or, what if you took that trade and it didn't work out? It's like, well, then I would have lost that trade. But what I can do,
cost of doing business. Yeah.
What I feel more comfortable now than ever before, and it's partly because of simplifying my approach down to like, I literally like sat and thought while driving. I had to drive like 2.5 hours a couple months ago. And I was like, oh, so like a 5 hour round trip. And I was like, what did I, you know, back in the day before everything I've learned, like, what did I do? How did I get good at trading when I didn't know all of this stuff that I know now, but I was still like better than, you know, someone you threw a rock and hit. What did I do? And it came, and that's what kind of stirred my interest or stirred my desire to start simplifying things. Cause I felt like my trading had become a little bit esoteric. It was so, you know, it was so specific and nuanced and detailed and magical and just for me. And And then at the same time, it was like hard to make a snap, good, quick decision, and hard to have one qualifier. And I think that's really important. So I say all that to say, when you look at a chart and go, this has to close below this or else they are screwed. When you can say that, and more often than not, the failure to do that equals someone being screwed, then whatever you're using to make that judgment, you should keep doing that. That is the judgment. Like, and if somebody is listening to this and they're like, God, what the hell are they talking about? I make all my money and I don't know anything. Then just keep doing what you do, you as, and just keep rolling. Like, there's too much cynical dick measuring in the trading world. And I'm not trying to come off that way. Well, my point is, like, I can, when he says, well, when I saw them, because what they had to do going into the close, that for that move to have any win to it, like win, they have to stay below 690s. They have to. They have to close below 690, and they have to immediately progress to close below 661. And if those two things don't happen, and then hold it there and continue lower to go get 617, it has to go that way. That's the way it has to go. And it can't not, because as soon as it doesn't and you get back above 691, the support that you just tried to take out on the smallest time frame, you just gave it right back. It's like you just got in the end zone and got pushed right back out. And those usually, like, that's a pick six is what that trade setup should be called. That's the pick six. Oh, yep. It's at the end of the game, man. Right. So, and that's just fun because, and so to feel a measure of freedom from not being locked into a room and on the screen is all day and in a chart, but also a measure of freedom to go as confidently as you can with an idea in the stock market to be able to put an if-then statement out there on something and feel really free and comfortable with whatever happens from it, but also like pretty confident that, you know, this matters and something's going to happen. Somebody's getting the sideways 2x4, you know?
Well, and finding the right way to express the trade too. Like, they didn't give you much time. They gave you a decent amount of time, but like trading futures into the 50 bot, probably not the greatest idea. You know, it can go bad.
Can't confirm,
but so zero DTE, not my thing into the close, but you know, knowing like I can take it one DTE, and if I'm wrong and it continues and it progressed lower, I'm gonna lose less because the one DTE's deltas move slower, yeah. Right? And so like one. I even looked at actually Wednesday expiration for the same trade. And then ultimately I just was like, stop being a pussy. Just take the one DTs. But, like I don't have the skill set to express that trade idea in something like SPX mm-hmm. or NDX. And I guarantee you, if you pulled up the SPX, you know, it's like one of those trades you always see, like where the fucking shit rips, like 150 points into the close and some guy turned like 5 cents into like $8,000. I don't understand that realm. So I don't express the trades in that way, but I guarantee you somebody took that same trade from the same relative idea or their version of work and used SPX as their version to express the thesis and probably made a lot of money. I'm sure the SPX options chain looks like that at the end of the day for, you know, a strike that was like roughly a close above the old, you know, daily move to the high. Yeah. Yes, it's slightly different, but whatever, you get the idea. But it's also about like that vessel of like how you're going to express the idea. And I think again, like, you know, options are just a nice way to do that with having other shit going on too. You know, Baba's got his housing stuff going on. You know, I'm doing business stuff. Like today, I just like, honestly, just didn't want to come fire up, futures, right. In the platform to do it. And, you know, there's no chance I'm trading futures from my phone. I just think that's, stupid. I don't know.
We got a few more minutes left before we, wrap things up here. I've been wanting to get your thoughts on, a little kind of unknown section of this big, beautiful bill that went through. I don't know if you're aware, but being a poker player, Did you see the changes with the the 90%? What is the deal with that? And is that only limited to poker and gambling, or is that going to actually apply to prop
sports,
firms?
Sports betting. It applies to prop firms.
Kind of.
So it could if they. I don't think they would consider that gambling though. So the biggest threat is to somebody like me. So, tournament poker is like this: lose, 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 small win, lose, 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 huge win,
right?
Lose, 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 and so like it's a volatile game where the ROI comes significantly from finishing in the top three, and that doesn't happen very often. You cash, a good player will cash 25 to 30% of the time, but like
hitting that big
is like offsetting losses. So, let's just say a year sample size might look something like I bought into $100,000 worth of tournaments, and maybe I cashed for $110,000, and that would be like a break even ish player, right? Like, or just like the pure example of I bought into $100,000 in the poker tournaments, but I cashed for $100,000 over that course of that year. Well, the problem with this new bill is that before I could say, well, I didn't actually make any money because I have $100,000 in losses and I have $100,000 in cashes from the tournaments that I bought into. Therefore, I don't owe any money on taxes. Well, what this is saying is that you can only write off 90% of your losses. So if I bought into $100,000 with the tournaments, I have $100,000 with the cashes. I didn't make any money, but I can only deduct $90,000 of my entries into those tournaments. Now all of a sudden I owe taxes on $10,000 that I didn't actually make. Like I made no money. And so the concern, I think, to the greater gambling world is one, high volume strategies like tournament poker just inherently. Especially like break even players, players like trying to get to profitable.
Even professionals, that's going to be a huge haircut on your, if you're.
Well, yeah, professionals, you're basically paying a 10% VIG, which makes it not as lucrative to play anything that's small stakes. Mm-hmm. So it puts a damper on what I would call like daily local tournaments to like mid stakes tournaments, call it like the $200 to $1,000 price point of buy-ins. And really pushes the EV of playing high volume into like, 2,500 to 10Ks and like, the guys that are playing like these Tritons and stuff for 25 and 100, 250K, it's not really a thing, but the break even players or the journey from losing to break even now has like a VIG on it that basically makes it like almost impossible, I would say, to really break through without having some like amazing win. You're not going to be able to grind your way using volume to get to that point because you're going to be paying taxes. And that's on a small sample size. Now, imagine you're really grinding, like especially like if you have a high volume strategy, like sports betting strategy.
Right.
If you're putting $1 million worth of bets through any of these sites, and you're profitable, say even like a good winner is profitable, like a million, they cash for $1,075,000. Well, now they're paying taxes on 10% of $1 million. Yeah. They're paying taxes on $100,000. They only made 50 or 60. And it's just like the math doesn't work anymore for a handful of different gambling strategies. So yeah, it would, I don't know if it'll kill it because losers are still losing so that you can't write off losses.
I just think it makes it significantly harder for the people who are earning a living doing
it. And I think what we'll find is how big is the ecosystem if the winners that are putting in volume are no longer there putting in volume, and do losers still want to come and play if there's no winners to play against, which I think is a weird thing that's real.
Mm-hmm.
People like to try to beat players that are better than them or, whatever, go for the big prizes. If that's not there, are the prize pools big enough to even have novice or loser players punt their money into it? I don't think so. So something's going to have to change. How big or how drastic is it going to be? I think it'll take a while for the ecosystems to change and losers to realize it's not as fun. But you'll see specifically in poker, guarantees drop significantly if this is a thing.
This takes effect the 2026, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
And I think you'll see a lot of gambling go to grayish or offshore markets.
Bovada come back.
That or like app games, tournaments, stuff like that. It'll be home games, whatever. It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But anybody that's putting in high volume, like significant volume, almost like the scalper version of betting, you're fucked. Like you just literally can't continue to do that strategy, and you have to either reinvent yourself or find something else to do.
Start calling your senators now.
there's not really a great solution to it. So yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate.
Well, that's not the news I was hoping to hear. I was actually hoping that maybe there's some different classifications for poker playing versus gambling, but I guess not. I'm more concerned though that this kind of opens the door though to start treating like prop firms this way. That's the thing I'm more concerned about is
I don't remember for the prop firm I used to trade with, but for the one I trade with now, until you're in a funded account, you're paid as a research analyst.
Oh, that's right. They do some weird things with it.
Yeah, I don't know that they would ever consider that gambling. I think you might get into some like interesting like wash trading, whatever rules, but yeah.
There's a day trader and someone grinding at the poker table. Like, to me, those two jobs are the same.
No, there isn't, and that's why.
Right.
You know, this is unfortunate, but.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to completely kill the mood right before we wrap things up. So, you guys have anything happy you want to end on, or?
Well, just win, yeah. Win a shit ton, you know, and then you just pay your vig, but
stop losing,
yeah, or don't lose, and then you don't have losses to write off.
Yeah, stop losing. That's what I would say.
Sounds like a good bombshell to end things on. If this was the Top Gear. All right, well, I think that's probably going to do it for today's episode then. So please join me in thanking Baba Yaga and Flary for jumping in tonight. You can do that by clicking on any of the links in the show notes. Subscribe to the show on your platform of choice, or you can email me any guest suggestions over at chinashopproductions@gmail.com. We will be back soon with another exciting episode, but till that day, like, share, subscribe to all the things, and have a green week.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This podcast is intended for informational and educational purposes only, does not constitute financial or investment advice, and should not be construed as such. The hosts, guests, and contributors of this podcast are not licensed financial advisors, brokers, or professionals. Any trading or investment decisions made based on the content of this podcast are solely at the listener's discretion and risk. Trading and investing in financial markets carry inherent risks, and past performance is not indicative of future results. Listeners should conduct their own research and seek advice from qualified financial professionals before making any financial decisions. The views, opinions, and information shared in this podcast are those of the individual contributors and do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the podcast creators or associated organizations.
Produced by China Shop Productions.